The world is changing fast, but you can learn it at a slower pace.
Special English.
You're listening to Special English. Here's the news. Tea farmers have started to harvest the West Lake Longjing Tea in Hangzhou in East China's Zhejiang province. This year's output of the Longjing Tea is forecast to remain stable. Last year, the annual output of the tea leaves reached 490 tons, with the total output value reaching 600 million yuan, about 84 million US dollars. The Longjing tea is a variety of green tea. As one of the most popular tea varieties in China, it is characterized by its green color, delicate aroma, mellow taste, and beautiful shape. In late 2022, China's traditional tea making was inscribed on the UNESCO Intangible Cultural Heritage List. This is Special English. With daily temperatures hitting 20 degrees Celsius, Beijing is now welcoming spring after a packed season of winter sport events. But that doesn't mean the city's Winter Olympic venues will lie idle. Last month, China's National Speed Skating Championships took place at the National Speed Skating Oval, dubbed the Ice Ribbon, with the participation of more than 80 elite athletes from across the country. The facility is also scheduled to host Beijing's Youth Short Track Speed Skating Championships and figure skating shows. Before ISU World Cup speed skating races return to the Chinese capital later this year. That is according to Xiao Yi, a management official of the venue. For Beijing's Olympic venues, holding mass sports activities during breaks between high-level competitions has become a common practice in recent years. As one of the three competition zones of Beijing 2022, the city's Yanqing suburb staged the bobsled and skeleton World Cup concurrently last November. In other seasons, it has become a hub for outdoor events like hiking, camping, and cycling. Last May, the Beijing Cycling League was held at the National Alpine Skiing Center in Yanqing, with over 200 amateur cyclists pedaling through meadows, forests, and canyons. Hong Wei, director of Yanqing's Culture and Tourism Bureau, said that Yanqing's Haituo Mountain, where the Winter Olympic venues were located, has different beauty in different seasons and keeps attracting tourists from around the world. Seogang Park, also an iconic venue from the 2022 Winter Games, welcomed the return of big air action with the FIS Snowboard and Freeski Big Air World Cup last December. It will host a number of exhibitions and forums in the coming months. Zhao Wen, director of the Beijing Municipal Bureau of Sports, said that Beijing will make full use of the Olympic legacies and coordinate the development of the summer and winter sports in an endeavor to boost the sports industry and enhance people's well-being.
You're listening to Special English.
The online senior university, a learning platform run by the China Association of the Universities for the Aged, has launched a new edition of open classes to meet the learning needs of senior citizens. The announcement follows the success of the first edition of open classes, which began last May. These classes featured over 300 teachers from 76 educational institutions and attracted over 70,000 participants, with more than 800,000 course visits. With China's aging population, universities for the elderly have become an increasingly important platform for promoting active and healthy aging. However, these institutions currently face challenges such as unbalanced regional educational resources and relatively limited teaching formats. According to the association, to boost educational resources for the elderly, the second edition of open classes have engaged more senior universities across the country. Additionally, to enhance the quality and social impact of courses, renowned experts from various fields will be invited to offer courses such as health and wellness, local culture heritage, as well as calligraphy and painting, and traditional Chinese culture and history.
This is Special English.
Shanghai has opened another 205 kilometers of its roads for autonomous driving tests in the Pudong New Area, bringing the total length of such roads in the city to over 2,000 kilometers. So far, 32 enterprises in Shanghai have received licenses for road tests, application demonstration, and operation demonstration of autonomous driving, with a cumulative testing mileage of nearly 23 million kilometers and a testing time of over 1 million hours. According to the Shanghai Transport Commission, 1,003 roads in the city are open for autonomous driving tests. Since 2018, Shanghai has opened its roads for autonomous driving tests in stages and designated four demonstration areas, including Jiading, Lingang, Fengxian, and Jinqiao. You're listening to Special English.
You've been listening to programs from CGTN Radio. CGTN Radio. We invite you to visit us online for more audio, pictures, and in-depth reports. At radio.cgtn.com, you can access a wide range of programs and find your favorite news, talk, features, entertainment shows, and podcasts. Hear the difference with CGTN Radio.
You're listening to Special English. The China Hospitality Association has released a proposal urging the country's accommodation sector to provide more convenience for global travelers. According to the proposal, related measures include aligning hotel services with global standards, expanding overseas booking options, and simplifying payment processes via international credit cards. The proposal also suggests offering telecommunications and catering services tailored for international visitors, as well as providing access to global TV channels. China has recently taken steps to make mobile payments easier for visitors from abroad, such as guiding mobile payment platforms to raise their single transaction limit. Identity verification processes are also becoming simpler. The China Tourism Academy said that the country's total inbound and outbound trips are expected to exceed 264 million this year, generating tourism revenue of 107 billion US dollars. You're listening to Special English. New Zealand's latest snowline survey has revealed continued shrinkage of glaciers in the country. According to the National Institute of Water and Atmospheric Research, New Zealand's glaciers appear smashed and shattered due to enduring ice loss. The research institute has been flying over the country's mountain ranges to conduct their end-of-summer snowline survey, observing the state of glaciers and the elevation of the snowline since the 1970s. The research paints a picture of how the country's stunning landscape is transforming. The program lead, Andrew Laurie, noted that overall, the snowline has been rising and in the most recent years, the rise had accelerated, drawing the conclusion that New Zealand is experiencing a continued trend of glacial loss. Lori attributed it to the global rising temperature, with the past decade seeing 8 of the 10 warmest years that New Zealand has experienced since records began. Lori added that last year was the second warmest year on record, a trend that followed the rest of the world, with 86% of the planet having above average temperatures that year. Glaciers form a significant part of New Zealand's environment, economy, and culture. They are important sources of meltwater, which sustains stream habitats and delivers nutrients into lakes, rivers, and oceans. They also feed hydroelectric lakes, impacting the availability of renewable energy, and contribute millions of dollars to New Zealand's economy through tourism. According to the scientist, New Zealand is one of the few mid-latitude places where people live near glaciers and can visit them easily. But this is getting tougher. Tourism operators have to penetrate further and further into the mountains to reach them.
This is Special English.
A bird-watching map for Heng Shui Lake National Nature Reserve in North China's Hebei Province has been published, marking the province's first all-season bird-watching guide for tourists and bird lovers. Jiang Yuguang, an official with the Nature Reserve Administration, said the map contains information on some migratory and resident birds. The topography and bird distribution at the reserve, noting that tourists can access the guide through the reserve's WeChat mini program or get a paper copy at the tourist center. Li Hui Long, with the Cultural Tourism and Sports Development Promotion Center of Lakeside New Area, said that the map provides scientific guidance for study tours and scientific investigation, which is conducive to conducting ecology popularization activities and enhancing people's awareness of birds' protection. The Heng Shui Lake is a national nature reserve with the largest single water surface on the North China Plain, featuring a complete wetland ecosystem of swamps, waters, mudflats, as well as meadows and woodlands. It is also a major stopping and wintering place for migratory birds on the East Asian-Australasian Flyway. To date, over 330 bird species have been spotted and recorded by the Nature Reserve staff.
This is Special English.
That's the end of this edition of Special English. To recap,
I'm going to read two
of the news items again at normal speed. Please listen carefully.
With daily temperatures hitting 20 degrees Celsius, Beijing is now welcoming spring after a packed season of winter sport events. But that doesn't mean the city's Winter Olympic venues will lie idle. Last month, China's National Speed Skating Championships took place at the National Speed Skating Oval, dubbed the Ice Ribbon, with the participation of more than 80 elite athletes from across the country. The facility is also scheduled to host Beijing's Youth Short Track Speed Skating Championships and Figure Skating Shows before ISU World Cup speed skating races return to the Chinese capital later this year. That is according to Xiao Yi, a management official of the venue. For Beijing's Olympic venues, holding mass sports activities during breaks between high-level competitions has become a common practice in recent years. As one of the three competition zones of Beijing 2022, the city's Yanqing suburb staged the bobsled and skeleton World Cup concurrently last November. In other seasons, it has become a hub for outdoor events like hiking, camping, and cycling. Last May, the Beijing Cycling League was held at the National Alpine Skiing Center in Yanqing, with over 200 amateur cyclists pedaling through meadows, forests, and canyons. Hong Wei, director of Yanqing's Culture and Tourism Bureau, said that Yanqing's Haituo Mountain, where the Winter Olympic venues were located, has different beauty in different seasons and keeps attracting tourists from around the world. Shougang Park, also an iconic venue from the 2022 Winter Games, welcomed the return of big air action with the FIS Snowboard and Freeski Big Air World Cup last December. It will host a number of exhibitions and forums in the coming months. Zhao Wen, director of the Beijing Municipal Bureau of Sports, said that Beijing will make full use of the Olympic legacies and coordinate the development of summer and winter sports in an endeavor to boost the sports industry and enhance people's well-being.
You're listening to Special English.
New Zealand's latest snowline survey has revealed continued shrinkage of glaciers in the country. According to the National Institute of Water and Atmospheric Research, New Zealand's glaciers appear smashed and shattered due to enduring ice loss. The research institute has been flying over the country's mountain ranges to conduct their end-of-summer snowline survey, observing the state of glaciers and the elevation of the snowline since the 1970s. The research paints a picture of how the country's stunning landscape is transforming. The program lead, Andrew Laurie, noted that overall, the snowline has been rising and in the most recent years the rise had accelerated, drawing the conclusion that New Zealand is experiencing a continued trend of glacial ice loss. Laurie attributed it to the global rising temperature, with the past decade seeing 8 of the 10 warmest years that New Zealand has experienced since records began. Laurie added that last year was the second warmest year on record, a trend that followed the rest of the world, with 86% of the planet having above-average temperatures that year. Glaciers form a significant part of New Zealand's environment, economy, and culture. They are important sources of meltwater, which sustains stream habitats and delivers nutrients into lakes, rivers, and oceans. They also feed hydroelectric lakes, impacting the availability of renewable energy, and contribute millions of dollars to New Zealand's economy through tourism. According to the scientist, New Zealand is one of the few mid-latitude places where people live near glaciers and visit them easily. But this is getting tougher. Tourism operators have to penetrate further and further into the mountains to reach them.
This is the end of today's program. I hope you'll join us every day to learn English at a slower pace.